Looks for a shot.
Arsenal will always be in my blood and in my heart.
It's Thierry Henry! He scored! He scored for Arsenal in the Bernabeu! No more, no less than they merit!
This is another Arsenal in My Blood podcast. We are currently post-mortem of the away defeats to Dinamo Zagreb midweek in the Champions League, and of course to Chelsea away on Saturday. We are going to try and discuss and come up with some answers. I don't know if there are any answers for what we've seen this past week, especially on Saturday, but we're going to do our best. With me today, I am hosting today, your host Ryan Hennick. With me, usual suspect, AJ is here. Hello, AJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, could be better. Could be better, of course. One thing to be excited about, though, we do have a new guest on the pod. He's his first time. He is on the other side of the pond, giving us a local perspective. And that gentleman is Ellis Mel. Ellis, welcome to the pod, good sir.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. Ellis has been a good friend of the pod over the past few months, so we're excited to have him on and like I said, get that local perspective so you could stop hearing these goddamn Yanks spout their shit about soccer that we know nothing about. So we're going to get straight into it here. Of course, we got two matches we're going to cover. Again, Arsenal have had better weeks. Two losses on the spin now. We went to Zagreb midweek, opening match of the Champions League, and it's the big talking point, I think, was squad rotation. That was a big kind of boiling point before the match when the team sheets got announced. I think we had six changes in the squad from the last league match, and of course we lost 2-1. Main talking point: Giroud being sent off in the first half. And overall, though, I want to talk about, guys, I want to start with you, AJ, from that match. Was the manager wrong to rotate that many guys, six changes in total? And did that completely just throw off our cohesion? Or was it just come down to we didn't show up on the night, we didn't perform?
I would say more the latter. I mean, I do think that that much rotation, you know, six changes probably does mean that we weren't necessarily, trying to think what the word is, but I think Wenger may have underestimated how good Zagreb were going to be and decided to make those six changes. I mean, before a Chelsea game, in hindsight, we can, of course, or in hindsight, we can say that it was a poor decision. But, I mean, if you're looking at it from a week ago where we have Chelsea at the weekend after Zagreb, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with rotation. That looking at that team, we should still be able to beat Zagreb and somewhat comfortably. Like, I was expecting a 1-0 or 2-0 after I saw the lineup, but yeah, we just didn't seem to click. And there shouldn't be any scapegoats necessarily in this situation, because I don't think there was, you know, besides Giroud for getting sent off, there wasn't necessarily any particular terrible performance for everybody. I think it's just overall not that great. I've said it many times, not that comfortable with Arteta playing defensive midfield, but in no means was us losing down to Arteta being in the team. I just didn't think we showed up and played enough, played well enough on the night.
Yeah, I think, If nothing else, I don't. If you're going to play Arteta, my big takeaway from that was you can't play him alongside Cazorla, because those two holding the midfield, they simply don't have the pace, the power, the ability to cover the ground. I would have rather seen, if you're going to play Arteta, play Flamini next to him, because at least you have someone there who's gonna sit, shield the back four. But Ellis, we had our quote unquote most of our reserve starting the match, and this is Gibbs, this is Debushi, Arteta, Chamberlain to an extent. Isn't it even those guys? They're not first team automatically. Aren't they good enough to go to a team like Zagreb and at least get some kind of result, get a point, or if not win the game, or are they not good enough? Are we that short in depth of quality? I thought we had passed that point. What is your opinion on those guys not stepping up and performing when called upon?
Well, firstly, when I saw the initial team, like when I got the notification saying what the team was, I wasn't too surprised. I thought there would be some rotations. I thought probably Arteta would come in, have a go. I didn't think Cech would be dropped. I don't really see the need to drop a keeper at all. I think that was a bad move from Arsene. I could see... I personally thought Gibbs or Debuchy might get a shout, not both at the same time. You don't want to change the defence too much, do you? But I wasn't too surprised, and I thought a team like that would be enough to get a win, or at least draw away to Zagreb. And I think those players that got that chance that night, they had an opportunity to give Wenger a headache, but they didn't. It makes his job even easier now. He knows some of those players aren't really going to cut it when they play. I did think Gibbs had a very good game at all. I thought, like you said, Arteta doesn't really work alongside Cazorla. I think probably, maybe not Flamini, but Ramsey, that worked well a few seasons ago, those two together.
But yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. I mean, with some of those guys, I look at a guy like Kieran Gibbs, who went from 12 months ago being the first choice left back, playing Champions League football against the likes of Bayern Munich, Dortmund, and playing well, mind you. Going from that position to where he is now, he looks like, and I've brought this up before, he just looks like he's completely comfortable with getting 8 or 10 starts in a season, not really being bothered by trying all that hard or being second string. I think he's comfortable, and I think that's part of the problem with the squad is we have guys, even Debushi to a point. He's experienced enough where he's played enough football. Maybe he doesn't care that he's been overtaken by Bellerin. And that's a big problem, because when those guys are called upon, when you're complacent and you're not fighting for your starting spot, that's the kind of performance you get. And that's very worrisome.
Well, he came out in, I think it was some sort of French media, saying he was surprised that Bellerin got picked over him in the Community Shield. And after that performance, I don't see why he was surprised.
And that's fine if you're going to be surprised and you should be disappointed as a professional. But when you get called upon to start, and this is no Mickey Mouse game, this is Champions League football. It's a huge, huge signal of intent, especially the first match of the group stage. And they go out and lay an egg. And Debushi looked like he was about 39 years old playing Sunday League. I mean, he looked slow. And granted, he hasn't started a lot of matches, but you gotta step up when called upon. So, you know, again, it's kind of a typical away Champions League performance. We've seen it time and again over the years. Go away to a pesky but less talented side and give away the match. Obviously, I mean, a lot of the blame should go to Giroud for being petulant, getting sent off like that, completely unacceptable. Whether you think the ref was harsh to give him two yellows, you have to know better than that. But... so we've dug ourselves another hole yet again in the Champions League, and it won't be an easy way out. But we'll have our next match at home, and we'll need 3 points. So moving on to the weekend match, which was of course the huge talking point of the week. We lose 2-0 away to Chelsea. So many things to talk about, of course. Gabriel's red card, Costa's overall cuntishness, if that's even a word, it should be. Mike Dean, of course, making the match all about him. AJ, was this match the result strictly down to an unjust red card to Gabriel and a bad officiating performance by Mike Dean? Do you want to blame it solely on that, or is there something else to it, something deeper from an Arsenal standpoint?
Again, I know I say this often, but a little bit of both. I mean, I do think that Mike Dean, as always, does kind of end up screwing us over, but I don't think we can only blame it on the ref. I don't think we weren't awful, but we just didn't get at the races again, you know, and that's not good to see two games in a row, us not looking quite there or sharp enough. I think 2-0 is a little bit harsh. I don't think Chelsea necessarily dominated the game. I think it's just that we did go down to 10 and then 9 men, and, you know, there's not much that we can do at that point. But, it just didn't seem to work. And you know, on the whole red card situation, although Gabriel was unjustly, red card, well, whichever way you feel about Gabriel deserving a red, you know, Costa should have been off, but either way, Gabriel shouldn't have reacted like that. And it just seems like we always have players that let other teams' players get under their skin. And I'm not sure if that's just the type of players we're buying, or if that's somehow anything to do with the coaching that we have. But you know, it's annoying that we have to keep seeing the same story over and over again.
Yeah, and one thing I want to touch on, and Ellis, want to get your take on this. Okay, we get the red card, whether it's justified or not. You know, that's ultimately it's something that's out of the team's control. I mean, if Mike Dean makes a horrible decision, there's not much the team can do by that. What we do have control of, and what I was very disappointed with, was our response to being hard done by, response to a red card. We didn't respond in Zagreb. And I thought we were mentally soft once again against Chelsea. Is that something that you see as a pattern, Ellis? That when things get hard for Arsenal, we kind of crumble. We kind of feel sorry for ourselves. Or should we really be upset that we got hard done by the officials again?
I think undeniably there seems to be some sort of underlying problem with mentality at our club. I'm not sure where that comes from. A lot of people might try and blame it on us and the manager. Some people might blame it on the players we have, but the team's changed a lot over the last, if you want to go back to those barren years when we didn't win anything, the team has changed a lot, and we've always seemed to have that sort of issue mentally. It's not a new thing, going down and to 10 men and losing and not responding like that. You don't have to look too far in the past to see that. But I don't really know. Like, my one point about Gabriel is I've noticed in a few games before, you've seen that fight in him. And I'll say it, and I think a lot of people probably say it, it's nice to have a player like that. We don't have enough of those players in our team that will get in the other team's face, show some fight, stick up for people. I think I can only name Jack Wilshere as a definite of our squad that's like that. De Bucci, I think we saw a bit of that. Was it last season in the Champions League? Someone fouled one of our players and De Bucci was straight up there in his face, and I think Flamini might have been there as well. But there's a fine line between being passionate and defending your teammates and then just losing your cool completely, and I think Gabriel really lost his cool and let Costa get under his skin. He really should have been a bit more smart about that. But
I agree with you completely. I love Gabriel for his fight and for him. I mean, you recall the incident. It was Costa who first of all slapped Koscielny twice in the face, and then flopped himself to the ground, got up, chest bumped Koscielny again. So it should have been red carded at least once. And it was Gabriel who stepped in and basically said, "Hey, fuck off, you know, get out of my guy's face." And what bothered me, yes, Gabriel has to be smarter after the first yellow. Is he should have been nowhere near Costa, especially considering the fact we had a free kick, or it was a goal kick or a drop ball for Czech. Gabriel has no business following Costa all the way up to the halfway line, continuing to talk and chip away. But I will say this, where is anyone else on the team to A, pull him away from Costa to make sure he doesn't get a second yellow, and B, where is anyone else sticking up for him? I mean, that's what bothered me the most is we got a guy who's first of all, the guy doesn't speak any fucking English. Okay, he's brand new to the league, to the country, and he's fighting his ass off, stepping up for his players, for his teammates. And when he needs help, everyone else is afraid to get involved. And that's what really bothers me, is I think the team mentality is just so very soft. We're too nice. We have nice lads. I was tweeting about it as it happened. You know, Ramsey, Ozil, Arteta, Santee, Giroud. These guys are nice lads. They banter in the locker room. It's great. We love it. But when it comes down to fighting, you know, tooth and nail, we just lack that toughness.
I couldn't agree more.
And I don't know what that is. Is that the team, the squad taking after the manager? Is it come down to that? Why do some teams have that, and why is Arsenal seem to lack that essentially for the past decade or so?
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, we seem to have it, you know, pre-Emirates, you know, we seem to have that fight, and Wenger was coached then, so that makes me think that it's not Wenger. But then at the same time, then that should be Wenger's job to then tell them, you need to step up for your players. To me, it just seems like he might have been disappointed in Gabriel, but said nothing else. And I think these are things that, although it might not necessarily be Wenger's fault that the players are like that, he should be able to recognize the problem and do something about it. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, we have Arteta, who's not good enough to start, and Mertesacker, who's still freaking ill. We should just slip him those antibiotics, by the way. But, you know, Cazorla being captain, I can understand, yes, he's probably, him or Koscielny or Cech are the oldest people on the field, so I guess they just gave it to Cazorla. But, I mean, there's nothing in me that makes me think that, or there's nothing in Cazorla that makes me think that he really is a captain, you know? I mean, again, you said he's a nicer guy, but you didn't see him step in and help out Gabriel at all. And I know Gabriel doesn't know even Spanish that well, but somebody has to talk to him, whether it's Cazorla, Alexis, or Bellerin, or Monreal. Anybody who can even speak something to him should have pulled him away. Or even if you can't speak, I mean, Koscielny, his defensive partner, also, you know, second or third oldest in the lineup that we had against Chelsea. Surprising that you don't see him stick up for Gabriel back. You know, Gabriel stuck up for him and just continued to get more and more hot-headed. So, yeah, I agree. I don't really know whose fault it is. It could be Wenger, but
well, I think it's either
Wenger's... well, you know, go ahead, Ellis.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut in. I just think it's a product of what football is nowadays. Like, you've got all these young players who get paid far too much, don't really earn it. They're not just getting paid all this money. They've got no real responsibility for their actions. If they go out and they play shit, the player's not going to get the blame. Yeah, he'll get a hard time from the fans, but ultimately, if all the players play shit, the manager will get the blame. So you've got all these players that don't really have any responsibility, can pretty much do sort of what they like, and they're getting paid to do what they want. And I don't know, I just think there isn't many characters like that in the game anymore anywhere, not just at Arsenal. There's obviously a few of them around, but not as much as they used to be.
It's true. I think the days of, you know, the penalty incident at Old Trafford, where Van Nistelrooy misses the penalty and there's Keown and Lauren jumping on him like madmen. I think those days are probably gone. I think, like you said, Ellis, it's a different era and it's a different mentality that players have. But you brought up an interesting point, which I want to transition to the next talking point, which is players getting the blame. And before the red card, when it was 11v11, I was very disappointed by our overall execution and performance. I was thinking about it. I'm not quite sure what this team's identity is this year. We don't seem to play a high pressing style. We don't seem that we want to kind of sit back, soak up, and play on the counter. I'm not really sure what our style is, and I point to individuals that are really struggling, where it's really exposing our lack of individual performances. Alexis, I think he gave away the ball at least six times, just dribbling into traffic, trying to come in field, and kind of playing almost selfishly. I think he's downright being selfish at this point. He's trying to force it. Ramsey's been anonymous. Santi's, I think, been very poor, very substandard. What is that down to? Is that tactics? Is that formation? Ellis, what do you attribute that to?
I ain't got a clue, really, to be honest. That's a bit of a rubbish answer, but it's not like there's no excuse, really. We've had
a good
preseason, haven't we? Like, we won the treble, the preseason treble. We won that. We played quite well. We played well against Chelsea in the Community Shield. Fair enough, they had a lot like they started a lot late in their preseason, but ever since the loss to West Ham, we've not really kicked it off. None of our wins have been that convincing, I thought. We seem to have had a lot of possession, as we always do. And there were stats flying around that Mesut Ozil was like making the most chances in the league, but no one's put it in the back of the net.
Right.
And you can't put that solely down on to Giroud or to Walcott. Like, we've always had people scoring from midfield as well. It's not just them. Obviously, that's a striker's job to score goals. But when you've got talents like Ramsey, Sanchez, Sandy Cazorla, all those sort of players in midfield, they should be able to chip in on goals as well. But I don't know what's going on with Santi's shooting at all at the moment. It's been like that for a long, long time. He's got such good feet, but it just can't seem to shoot.
AJ, one thing that I would like to see a change, and one of our players who has performed to an extent has been Theo, and he's been played up top. And I don't know what your take on this is. I think when I look at Theo Walcott, when he's been the most prolific in his Arsenal career, he's been playing consistently on the right wing. And especially he had a run of form playing with Giroud, when Giroud was playing up top, of course, Theo playing on the right. Is it that complicated? What am I missing? Why can't we play Theo and Giroud together, get Theo on the right wing, and have him still be that threat running in behind, but also you get the strengths of Giroud playing as a hold-up center forward? Do you agree with that, or is there any other tactical shift or change you would like to see in particular?
I do think that I'm surprised that Wolcott's now pretty much solely a striker, that he's not even considered a winger anymore. I think the problem with playing Wolcott, or at least from Wenger's perspective, with playing Wolcott on the right, is that that means that Giroud will play up top, and that means that, you know, one of Ramsey or Cazorla will be dropped, because he always has to have Alexis on the left, Ozil number 10. So I think right now he's just trying to squeeze in Ramsey. I think that's honestly why Wolcott is playing up front, and why Wolcott and Giroud can't play together. Now, what would I do? It's complicated, because I do think that, you know, I remember when our front three was Podolski, Giroud, and Wolcott, and, you know, it was actually quite a good front three. That's when, you know, Wolcott had his best season with us on that right-hand side, banging in goals. And I think the reason that he's really good on the right is that he starts from a deeper position, runs, and just, you know, times his run perfectly. Whereas as a striker, often his back is to goal, and that's, you know, at that point he's basically useless. But to be fair, I think he did make a few good runs at the striker position, where he started a little bit wider and ran inside and ran along the other team's defense, and I thought he did quite well. But I think it's still obvious that's, you know, even though he says he's a striker and that's his main position, that's clearly not his main position. He's only played there a handful of times in his entire professional career. So I'm not really sure what the solution is. I've heard a lot of people throw out the suggestion that maybe we should have Alexis up front in the center. I know that didn't work at all towards the beginning end of last season. I think it was against Everton, and Giroud ended up coming on and drawing it to make it 2-2. But what do you guys think about Alexis playing in the center up front, and maybe either it probably would end up being Wolcott and Oxlade on the wings, or Ramsey and Oxlade, or Ramsey and Wolcott on the wings, just because Alexis does provide that that pressure and usually more of a clinical finish. So besides the heights, you know, he could. I think I would experiment him there at center forward and see if he plays well. If he doesn't, then we know that he's not a center forward because, you know, to be fair, it didn't work last season.
Ellis, what do you think? Personally, and I tweeted this during the match. I would actually bench Alexis. I think I don't know if he's not mentally in the Premier League yet. I don't know if he's still thinking about Copa America glory. He doesn't seem like he's playing within the team, and that's a concern for me. I don't think he'll ever get benched because, again, I think Wenger's he's too nice, he's too non-confrontational. But Ellis, what do you think? Alexis up top, any other tactical changes or people you would drop, assuming everyone is fit and available, of course?
Well, my initial thought to playing Sanchez up front is sort of like isn't got the stature or the height. AJ mentioned it as well, but then he does win the odd few balls in the air. Like he has scored with his head before. I think the one that classed as an own goal was his head. I can't remember.
Palace away. He does win. Like you're right. He does win for being 5'7". He does win a lot more headers than he probably should.
I think. It couldn't hurt to try, but like I said, my initial thought is it probably wouldn't work. But also, like AJ mentioned about Walcott, or was it you, I don't know if it was you, Ryan, mentioned about Walcott and Giroud playing together. They seem, to me, that seems like the sort of perfect partnership. You've got one guy who's big, wins a few, bit good in the air, wins balls, likes to flick it on, and you've got another guy who likes to run in behind people. To me, that seems like the sort of combination play that would work out perfectly. Giroud wins the ball, flicks it onto Fear, or Giroud gets the ball in from Ozil, flicks it onto Fear, running behind him, in behind the defenders. You think that could work, but then if you play them as out-and-out centre-forwards, then you're going to have to go into a 4-4-2, which I don't think really works in this day and age in football.
No, I think what's frustrating, at least for me, week in, week out, is the lack of productivity and then the lack of the manager willing to make changes. I get to an extent, okay, you want to have cohesion, so you want to keep, you know, the same 11, same tactics, formation to see if it does click, but at some point you have to make a change if it's not working. And looking ahead, one player I think has been massively disappointing for me, who correct me if I'm wrong, but I think will be suspended for the next match against Spurs in the cup is Santi Cazorla. I know people have always wanted Ramsey back in the center, and I think we'll probably, again, depending on who we play, we could field a full reserve 11 because it is a Capital One Cup. So looking ahead, I mean, this is all right. We have two losses on the bounce, North London Derby. Granted, it is a Capital One Cup. Should we play our strongest side possible? We have Leicester City away the next league match, and they're in great form, and we, you know, need 3 points. Or should we play a mix of, you know, backups and starters? And hey, you know what? It's just a Capital One Cup. AJ, what do you think?
AJ? He's been taken.
AJ has been abducted. AJ?
Can you hear me?
There we go. AJ's back from the yeah, from the anal probe. AJ is back. Welcome back.
Oh yeah, no. Anyway, from my end, I was talking, but anyway, I'll say what I was saying. I would probably go with a little bit of reserves in the lineup. I do think that Leicester are in great form. You know, Ryan Mara is looking great. So I would probably try to rotate a bit. I know it didn't work against Zagreb, but I think it could work today, or not today, on Wednesday. But the question is who do we rotate in? Do we want to do a full entire non-starting 11 players, or should we have a few players, like, you know, he loves to still play Ozil, but for me, I'd rest Ozil this game, make sure he gets some rest because he's been playing a lot of football recently. But I mean, I'm not sure exactly how we're going to line up. We could see Arteta, Flamini come in as a kind of a double pivot. Maybe even play a Ramsey in a number 10 role then for that game. So I can't see Wenger going completely with reserves and kids. I think he will mix in some of the first team players. I think we could see Giroud start. Either way, even our so-called backup players, just like in the game against Zagreb, you know, we should be able to do well. It's just honestly whether we show up. You know, that's how it always is with Arsenal, whether we show up to play well.
Yeah, and speaking of one of those midfield positions, Francis Coquelin, of course, was subbed off at halftime. He looks like he hyperextended his knee. I've seen some reports today that he may even be fit if called upon for Wednesday night. I've seen other reports where he could be out up to a month. So, you know, assuming he's probably going to miss one or two matches, what do we do there? Can we get away with playing Arteta and Ramsey? Or I actually would like to see Mathieu Flamini in there, only because I think he's the closest thing to Coquelin that we have in the squad. And you can play Santi, Ramsey, hell, even Arteta alongside Flamini, and you should have enough cover in front of the back four. Ellis, what do you think and about that, and also about, of course, we can bring this back to our lack of bringing in cover in the transfer window. Say Coquelin is out for a month. Is that I told you so and we're screwed, or could we adequately cover for him in any absence that Coquelin is out for?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a sort of told you so moment, isn't it? I think every time Coquelin goes down, gets hurt, probably every single Arsenal fan on the planet is just waiting, praying that he gets back up and he's fine. Because Arteta and Flamini, they're not quite that level to be able to step in for a consistent run of games. Yeah, they're perfectly fine to be in the Zagreb game. I don't want to go all the way back there, but in that game, we should have started with Coquelin. And then when we were safe, if we were 1-0 up, 2-0 up, then that's the time to bring Arteta on. The game's safe, Coquelin gets a rest, and Arteta can control the game in that position, sit back a bit and just control it. But going back to picking the side for Tottenham, I think he probably will get a game again. I wouldn't be surprised if he started. I don't know about Debuchy alongside him. Is that what you were saying about having him there?
Even I was saying if for me the like-for-like replacement, if Coquelin's either going to be rotated or if he's out injured, I would rather see Flamini start. Because, I think his qualities, now people argue he has zero fucking qualities because he's the whipping boy in this current Arsenal side, but I think he actually has the closest defensive kind of tenacity, tackling ability out of anyone else in the squad other than Coquelin. So... I don't understand if you're going to have Flamini in the team. Why aren't you going to play him if Coquelin isn't starting? Because clearly Arteta, he just isn't capable of being that destroyer. I think he can play next to that player where he's the distributor, where he's the kind of the transitional midfielder, you know, to pick up the ball and transition from, you know, midfield into the attacking third, but I'm just frustrated at the fact that I don't quite understand from our team selection to our tactics. I don't quite understand what our identity is, and I know that's not really a question to anyone, nor does anyone have that answer. But are we going into another of a typical Arsenal meltdown where we lose three in a row, four out of five, and our season seemingly ends like we've seen it again so many years before? Or AJ, is this just an anomaly? Is it a blip? And can this team execute, perform, and come out of this? Especially, again, Tottenham away, Leicester away, Olympiacos with the pressure at home, and then United at home. These next four matches are can honestly say will make or break our season. Are we doomed, or can we come up from this?
I think we're doomed. I don't want to say.
Shut it down, man.
I think we're doomed for the title. I can't see us winning the title, but I don't think we're doomed for the league. And I know that doesn't, or for getting top four. I think we're going to be comfortably getting top four, and I think, honestly, we probably will end up getting second or third in the league. That's not what any of the Arsenal fans want, but I don't think that we're going to drop to six, because I don't think any other team besides City, who just lost at the weekend, but besides them, every team's been bad at certain points. So I don't think it's so gloomy that we're just going to crumble and end up becoming Liverpool or Spurs. So I don't think we should get too nervous, but yeah, I think it is a little bit of an "I told you so" moment. Kind of. Why have we not changed what needs to be changed? And that's not only the transfers that everybody wanted. It also is a tactical thing. I talked about on the last pod how, or you're saying right now, you don't know our identity. I think our identity should be quick, incisive play with. I would try to widen our field a little bit more. I think we play way too compact. We play as if we're defending when we have the when we currently have the ball. So that doesn't make any sense. I think wingers should get wider, and I also think we shouldn't hold such a high line to the point where we're vulnerable on the attack, or the fact that I hate it when all we do is just pass it around from right wing to the middle to left wing, because that does nothing. There's no penetration. There's no quick play. And Arsenal look the best when we have quick, incisive football through balls to our quick running wingers or strikers. And I don't know. That just seems obvious to me. Not necessarily exactly how we should line up, because I think that's up for debate, and I can definitely listen to other people's opinions on that, but I don't think the way that we're playing this kind of slow and vulnerable play is anything that we should be continuing to do. But at the same time, I don't know, Wenger must be able to see that we're just not clicking. And so is it him? Does he just say, we will click at some point, or are the players just earning all their big bucks and just not really caring about it? I'm not really sure what the solution is or why we are still kind of stuck in this rut. But yeah, I don't think we're going to win the title just based on what I've seen.
Yeah, for me this season, I think the majority of the blame needs to lie on the players. Because we have extremely talented players who have shown in seasons prior their ability to play world-class football, and they're simply not doing it. And I want to pinpoint Alexis Sanchez, Aaron Ramsey, Santi Cazorla, Ozil to a degree, but I think that's probably a bit harsh. I look at Ramsey. The one half chance we had in the Chelsea match was Ozil puts in a brilliant ball cross field on the left wing, and Ramsey has a chance. He could hit it first time, come across goal. He decides to trap it, takes a heavy touch, takes another touch, and gets Azpilicueta nicks it away from him. It's two seasons ago. Ramsey would have propped that up on the half volley and put it in the upper 90. Ellis, is this team peaked? Are we a FA Cup winning side, a fourth place finishing side, and a round of 16 Champions League side? Is that as good as it's going to get with this current core group of players and manager, or can it be better than that? Can we achieve more with what we have?
I'd like to think no. But what you need to do is, everyone always harks back to the transfer window, but the age-old saying is, if you're not moving forward, or if you're standing, I've forgotten the fucking saying now, still, you might as well be going backwards or whatever, something like yeah. that. But basically, if you're not, we didn't move
basically,
forward.
Basically, spend some fucking money. I think is what you're getting at,
something like that. But this has always been the way. Every fucking season, we're one player short, or two players short, or this player short. We're just not aggressive enough in the market to go out and get these targets. Or even if they are targets, I don't know if they're targets. I don't know what. who the club are looking at, or who the club were looking at, or if they're looking at anyone at all. But everyone can see it. Surely, I'm not saying Arsene can't see it. He's not stupid. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes he can be to blame for differing in the market. I think a lot of people would have liked to send Schneiderlin. Maybe not in the wage demands that he wanted, and if he'd get the game time. But surely there's another player out there who can be backup to Coughlin. Surely there's another player out there who is of the quality of Giroud or slightly better. There must be, but I don't know.
I think you bring a good point up, and I've always been more on the side of being conservative when it comes to transfer spending. But I think, and you touched on it, when you look at it, the squad, we've always been, like you said, one or two players short. And at some point, if this club wants to step up into the upper stratosphere of European giants, like we once were, and consistently win titles or be right there competing for titles, you have to throw the textbook away, and I think you have to take financial gambles. If that means $50 million on a 28-year-old Cavani, and make PSG an offer that they absolutely will not turn down, then you do it. Because at some point, this core group of players, the Ozils, the Alexis, the Ramsays, they're not going to put up with not winning or not even competing. So it's
not only that. I think on it might have been a Bergkamp Wonderland, but on one of the other pods, they were talking about it a couple weeks ago, saying that, you know, finally, if you look at our team right now, and you look at our team for the past 10 years, this is the best team that we've ever had in a long time. And you look at all our 26, 27, 28-year-olds, Giroud, Wolcott, Ozil, Alexis, Ramsey's getting to 25 soon, too. All these players are in their primes, but you know, if you think about it, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, they're not going to be there. So the time is now to spend the money. There's no point in waiting a few years and then starting to spend money, because then that core group of players that we have right now, they're going to be in their 30s, and they're not going to be our core group of players. They're going to be either benched or sold. So the time is now to start acting in the transfer market. But you know, I don't know why he hasn't.
Yeah, I think you look at it from a organizational standpoint. I think the bigger problem really, it comes down to ownership. I think we have an owner, and I can speak, and AJ, so could you, from an American standpoint. We have an owner who, first and foremost, he's a savvy businessman. He's not a competitor. First and foremost, he really doesn't put winning first and foremost. You look at the teams he owns in the U.S. They're habitually good teams: Denver Nuggets, St. Louis Rams, and not so much. But really, I look at the Nuggets. I compare them to Arsenal. Always good, always making the playoffs, but never getting over the hump and never pushing on to be great, to be one of the best. So I think we have a systemic problem where we have ownership who's not going to be not banging down Arsene's door saying, "Hey, why didn't you spend $50 million? Why didn't you get Cavani? The money's there. Just do it, man. Like, let's win." The pressure's not going to be there. And until my concern is, even if Arsene leaves, which eventually he will the next manager that comes in, will he be put under economic restraints by the ownership? because he's happy with being fourth place, winning an FA Cup here and there, you know, cash reserves of $190 million. He's making money off the team. That's really my concern long term is I don't know if the pressure is going to be there from higher up to demand greatness from the team, from the manager, from the transfer agenda. And that's a big concern. And of course, time will tell. We don't know. I guess final thoughts on this topic, and we can wrap up. Is Wenger taking this club as far as he can with his limitations, with his ideologies, and will it change at the manager? Will that make the difference, or will it come down to a complete overhaul? Ellis, we'll go to you. Just kind of touch on that if you could.
My gut feeling is I don't think we'll ever win the Premier League under Arsene Wenger. I'm not Wenger in, I'm not Wenger out, I'm just an Arsenal supporter. I'll get behind the team no matter what. I'll get behind Wenger because he's the Arsenal manager. But I'm not going to lie, he frustrates me a lot, and a lot of people must get frustrated with him.
Sure.
Tactically, I just don't think there's a lot of things he does that I don't think is very tactically savvy at all. Like, only going back to the Chelsea game, when we get that player sent off, he took off Coughlin, who you'd probably keep on, play a bit defensive. You're now a man down. You're away from home. Just take the point. But he left on Santi Cazorla, took off Coughlin, and then Santi Cazorla goes on to get a second yellow, and we're down to nine men. It's like sort of decisions like that that does anger me about him. But I don't know. I think we'll, under him, will always be that team that will probably come third, which is, at the end of the day, we've probably got the third best squad in the Premier League, so it's not underachieving. But I never think we'll truly make that step up like you mentioned, that next level under Wenger. I think
it's a fair sentiment, to be honest. I think I share some of the same frustrations that you have. And I just wonder, in this era of Premier League football, with all of the money, the transfer fees, albeit they're preposterous, they're astronomical, but that's the name of the game. And I wonder if Wenger is almost stuck. He can't get over the fact that that's what the sport has become. And I do worry that we may be left behind because of that mentality. I commend Arsene for having that integrity, for having, you know, wanting to do things organic and do it the right way. I wouldn't want us to be owned by oil sheik by any means. I think that's, you know, completely artificial and lacks any identity. I think that's what makes Arsenal a brilliant football club, is the history and the you know, the traditions. But at some point, we either have to shit or get off the pot if we want to compete at the highest level. So, they're all fair points. AJ, what do you think?
My initial thoughts when you asked that question was, yes, Wenger can win it if he changes his tactical approach and transfer approach. But the fact that I have to say he's going to change his tactical and transfer approach makes me think that at that point, it's just basically like having a new manager. If he has to change his ways, and not necessarily entirely, because there are things I do admire about Wenger, but there are a lot of tactical things that, you know, Ellis touched on and I touched on earlier, and the transfer policy that just does not make sense to me, how he doesn't seem to agree with the Arsenal fans. And so the fact that I think that makes me a little worried and somewhat agree with Ellis thinking that, you know, we might not win a title under Wenger. But the big question is that who is better? Who's going to come in and fill in for him? Do we think since Wenger has had such a has such an influence on the club that he'll basically pick who is his successor? And do you think if he does pick, because I think that will be the case, do you think he'll pick just somebody that kind of agrees with his philosophy and is not necessarily a big name? Or do you think he'll go for the biggest name manager that he can find that he thinks will help us, because, you know, we don't want a David Moyes just because, you know, we don't want a French David Moyes just because he's French. Wenger decides that that we want to have him as our manager. So I'm not sure. When, you know, I know this is looking ahead a little bit, but when Wenger does eventually leave, what do you guys think? Do you think he'll have somebody like a Steve Bould come in, or somebody that's just going to practically do close to what Wenger's doing? Or do you think he'll try to go out and just get the best manager possible for the position? Like, you know, all of a sudden if Pep became available, or if any one of these other big managers became available, do you think he would try to go for that, or go for a relatively no-name person that he thinks agrees more with his philosophy?
The question is going to be, when he does step down as manager, what is his involvement going to be at the club? And that could have a huge influence on who the next manager is. I mean, is Carlo Ancelotti going to come in and Arsene Wenger be head of recruitment and transfers? Will Ancelotti want to take that? I mean, will Guardiola want to take that if Arsene essentially is controlling the personnel at the club? I mean, with, you know, that, so I think there's variables there that will have an impact on who eventually comes in. But I think ultimately Wenger, he's shown over his tenure, he's going to want nothing but the best for the club. So I think with that in mind, I think he's going to, if he has say in appointing the next manager, he's going to want to get somebody who's basically the best person for the job to succeed right away. So I think that'll be someone, my personal choice, assuming he's available, would be a Carlo Ancelotti. He's proven, he's experienced, he's, you know, he knows how to handle a big squad, egos, all that. But yeah, we'll see when the time comes, though.
And he's a really good eyebrow.
Yes. So I think that can just about wrap it up for the pod, boys. I think, you know, again, looking ahead, it's a big month for Arsenal Football Club. We've got, albeit it is in the Capital One Cup, Spurs away. It's a massive North London derby. We always want to destroy those absolute cretins of a football team. Leicester away after that, and then, you know, some big ones, Olympiacos and United. So it's really do or die time for these boys. We'll see. The quality is there, whether or not they can step up and perform, especially with injuries, suspensions. Guys gonna need to do it. Simple as that. So let's see, AJ, you want to throw out your Twitter handle for all your beloved fans out there?
He's been taken again.
Yeah, AJ.
Yeah, all my beloved fans, you can go ahead and sorry, I'm laughing because I just typed, don't forget to do the Twitter handles after he just said it. But yeah, so you can follow me at AJGunners14, so at AJGUNNERS14.
And Ellis, what is your Twitter information?
You can follow me at ELLISMEHL, or one thing.
Brilliant. Please direct all your criticism to Ellis, as he is the newcomer. for all mistakes or inaccuracies, we can confirm it's Ellis's fault, so we do apologize.
Can I just ask something?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Seeing as we haven't got any listeners' question, and technically I am a listener, could I
you
ask
are.
A question?
Yeah.
I had like two that I was thinking about just asking you guys as I come on. The first one was, which links in quite well to the discussion about Arsene Wenger. When he, like, say he did just say step down at the end of the season, would you be nervous or excited for what was to come?
Depends on. Go ahead, AJ.
Yeah, sorry.
I think it just depends on who we bring in. I think, like I said, I think if it's all of a sudden Steve Bould gets promoted to manager, or, you know, some kind of equivalent, pretty much, or like a French David Moyes, you know, somebody who's, you know, well, I don't believe it is good enough for the job. I won't be excited, but if a Carlo Ancelotti comes, or I still like Klopp. I know he didn't have a great last season, but I do think that he does provide that aggressive, high-pressing nature that I think could actually work well at Arsenal. But yeah, I think it definitely just depends on who we bring in.
You say the French David Moyes. I'm thinking, you know, there's somebody out there named David Moyes coaching in Ligue 3 somewhere that Arsenal has identified. I mean, just quickly, I think, Ellis, a little bit of both, to be honest. I mean, at one side of me is I understand how good of a job Wenger's done all these years, especially with the financial restraints to keep us in Champions League and you know, compete with limited resources and sometimes really bang average squads over the years. But at the same time, I wonder, with a new manager, with a new approach,
no loyalty to players, by the way, as well.
I think true. Like, yeah, I mean, that's a plus and a minus. You know, with a little more fiscal creativity, if you will. Yeah, I think the club can achieve great things. So it's a fine line, though. We have to be careful what we ask for, because again, Fergie steps down and Moyes comes in, and all of a sudden they're going from winning the league to finishing seventh, and they're in complete rebuild mode. So it's either way, the decision of who comes in is absolutely will be the most important decision the club has probably ever made in terms of, you know, whether the club goes forward or completely regresses.
Cool.
And then, did you have a second question?
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about that. I was thinking this one the other day, just how much has changed in the last few years, and it's just a simple one. You can't pick both. Who do you hate more, Chelsea or Tottenham?
Oh. For me, I hate... See, Tottenham's like the annoying little brother who you know they're not near as good as you. They're shorter. They're just annoying little gnats that you want to just swat away. So I don't really hate them as much as Chelsea. Chelsea are evil epitomized. Everything about them is disgusting, despicable. They have no redeeming qualities of the club. None of their players do, and they're racist. I mean, they're just awful. And I absolutely despise them. Everything they stand for.
AJ. He's been taken again.
AJ. AJ.
Cut out.
Look into the light, AJ. Look into the light.
I'm here.
Did you get so angry that you broke your microphone in half about your hatred for Chelsea and Tottenham combined? He's done it again.
No? Am I here? Can you guys
go ahead, AJ. Chelsea or Tottenham? Who do you hate more?
Okay. Yeah, you guys cut out for a second. I couldn't hear what the question was. Definitely Chelsea more. I heard a little bit of what Ryan was saying at the end. Just have to echo pretty much exactly what he said. I think, you know, I hate Spurs because we have to hate Spurs. You know, that's not to say that I think they have respectable players or anything, but I do think that their players are a lot more respectable than the Chelsea cunts. You know, there's just every single one of Chelsea's players.
No.
This podcast has devolved into an episode of Doctor Who. We've got alien abductions and android assimilations all in one pod. It's absolutely cracking entertainment. Thank you, AJ. I think we'll end it on that note. We do apologize for the technical difficulties, but again, all we can do, get behind the team, up the Arsenal, big match on Wednesday against the goddamn despicable cunts from up the road, Tottenham. So let's hope for a good result Wednesday, and we'll be back next week to discuss that match and Leicester away. So as always, up the arse.